want to begin with the first reading because without some kind of background, that reading may not seem really that fitting to be read at Mass. I mean, what's it about? A cedar tree? No, it's about much more than that. It's an allegory. In other words, the cedar tree is standing or representing the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God at the time of that prophet had been growing, but it hadn't been growing in the way that God had wanted it to grow. And so in that reading, God is saying through the prophet, I'm going to take a little tender shoot off of the top of this big tree, and I'm going to plant it on a high mountain, and it's going to become a tree large enough that the birds of the air can nest in it. Now, what he's trying to say there is that God is going to do something new. This kingdom that has disappointed him, he's going to abandon. But he's going to take a little bit of that kingdom and he's going to start something new that will become all that he wants it to become. Now, if we go to the gospel reading today, we're given two images, both of them agricultural images. One of them is the image of the fellow that goes out and sows, and then he goes about his life. He sleeps, he wakes up, and all that time what he has sown is growing. And he doesn't really know how it's happening, he doesn't understand that. But it happens. And Jesus is saying to us, that's the way the kingdom of God will be. He is planting the seed, and we can look, but we don't necessarily always see its growth. And we don't really understand what's going on. And yet he is assuring us that something is happening, something good. If we go to the second image, it really ties in better with the first reading. In that second image, it's a small seed. They say the mustard seed is so small that it looks almost like a speck on your hand. And yet, that little seed will grow, and it will become a large shrub or bush. Once again, that same image comes up that was in the first reading. The birds of the air will come and nest in it. Well, that image was really trying to say the nations of the world will come, and they will find their home in this new kingdom that God was going to begin. Now I'd like to go to a passage that we didn't have in the readings this morning, but I think it helps us to tie things together. If you go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, it's where Jesus gives to Peter the keys to the kingdom. Then he says, he will build his church on the rock that is Peter. In other words, the kingdom of God is already present in the church. And it is the church that God has chosen to use to be the builder of the kingdom of God. God wants somehow this church to bring that kingdom to fulfillment. It is to be the instrument that he uses. And this is an important reflection for us because we live in a time when there are an awful lot of people who are saying, I don't need a church. You know, it can be just Jesus and me. I can just go it on my own. I don't need any organization or any structure. And yet, Jesus desired that the building of the kingdom be through his church, the church that he founded on the rock of Peter. Now, when I say that, it's important to understand something. When I speak of church, I'm not just speaking about Pope Francis or the bishop or all those bishops and cardinals. Yes, they're part of the church. But you and I are also part of the church. The church is us. You and I are the church. You and I are the instrument through which God wants to build or bring that kingdom to fulfillment. Each and every one of us. Now, there's something important to notice in that story about the mustard seed. First of all, the tininess of the seed. And that's how the church began. You know, just a few apostles. Seemingly a hopeless task of 12 men bringing the faith to the whole world. And yet in 3 centuries, they had transformed the whole world around the Mediterranean Sea. And they had brought the faith down into India and over into Eastern Europe, Western Europe. 3 centuries that those little seeds had grown. But another thing to think about too is the plant that comes from the mustard seed. It's not really very majestic. It's a pretty ordinary shrub, a bush, nothing extraordinary. Now, what does it say to us? Well, it says to us that the church is going to be like that. You know, God did not intend for the church to be splendid, magnificent. That's not what we're about. We're about being a humble people. A people who serve one another. We are to become a people that loves one another, serves one another, does not seek glory, does not seek honor, but seeks to serve. The task of the church is to draw all people to Christ Jesus. And Jesus made it evident that we do that best by reaching out to the lowest, the lowliest. Reaching out to the people that the world considers unimportant, nobodies. When we reach out to them, we are being church in its greatest way. And for the rich and the comfortable, the powerful, their way to the kingdom of God is to love Jesus enough that they reach out and serve the poor. To serve the nobodies of this world. That is what it means to be church. To reach out to gather all people into the kingdom of God. That is the role we have. You know, Pope Francis has given us an outstanding witness to this. What did he do within just a few days of being elected Pope? He goes to a prison and visits the prisoners. What did he do on the first Holy Thursday, which was just very shortly after he was installed as Pope? He celebrates Holy Thursday Mass in one of the prisons of Rome, washing the feet of the prisoners. Remember the incident where he's in a crowd and he sees this man out there with a very rare disease, a horribly disfigured face. What does he do? He goes over and embraces him. He's given us an example of what church should be. We should be a people that reach out, that serve the poorest, the lowliest among us. If we do that, we are being the church that we are called to be. The other thing about Pope Francis, which I think is extraordinary, is where is he picking his cardinals from? Most of them are not from wealthy nations, huge cities. They're from third world nations, places that some of us have hardly heard of. Again, he wants it to be a church of the poor, a church of the oppressed, a church that reaches out to them and listens to their needs. You know, we can always find plenty to criticize about the church because the church is us. It's got all the weaknesses that you and I have. And in recent years, we've seen a lot to criticize about the church. The sexual